Welcome to Indie Insider, presented by Black Shell Media. This is the weekly show where we speak with indie video game developers, publishers, and industry professionals about their projects, their stories, and their advice to others. I'm your host, Logan Schultz, and today on the show, I sit down with Kevin Carthew, the creative director of Team 17. Of course, Team 17 is a long-established indie developer and publisher known for the beloved Worms franchise. Kevin tells me about their new release, Worms WMD, as well as how he got into the industry and his skills at the fantastic game Overcooked. Before we get to the interview, however, a couple of quick notes. This show is presented by Black Shell Media, a publishing and marketing firm working to help indie developers reach their goals and new audiences. The company also strives to offer unique, inspiring, and even educational services for developers, publishers, and gamers alike, which is why we get to bring this show to you. Speaking of which, be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes and other podcast services across the internet. And please, leave a review. If you'd like to be a part of the show and share your thoughts, questions, or even request a professional to bring on the podcast, send me an email at logan@blackshellmedia.com or reach out on Twitter at Logan A. Schultz. Finally, special thanks to Kevin Carthew for joining us on the show, Vincent Gallopane from XO Go Consulting, and Benjamin Tiso over at bensound.com for allowing us to use his song Going Higher in the show. And now, the creative director of Team 17, Kevin Carthew. Today, I am talking with Kevin Carthew, the creative director at Team 17. Kevin, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going good. Thanks, Logan. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's been kind of a busy day so far.
Yeah, same here, I'm afraid. Same here.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a pleasure.
It's a little different. You are kind of at the end of your day right now. You're based over in the UK, and obviously I'm over here in America. So what's the vibe at Team 17 like now that Worms WMD is out?
The vibe's good, yeah. It's a very exciting time, I suppose, a little bit of a nervy time for us as well. But it's always a little bit like this after the launch of a big project. We've been working on Worms WMD for well over a year, probably including pre-production, the concepting phase and everything, maybe a little bit close to 2 years. So a lot of effort and a lot of hard work has gone into it. We're really excited to see how fans respond to it. And yeah, it's been really good so far. Lots of really positive fan feedback. We've had some great reviews. And that that is generally what the vibe is all about at Team 17 right now. A lot of excitement around the launch of WMD.
Cool. Well, first off, congratulations on the game.
Thank you.
It is on PC, it is on the PlayStation, and it is on the Xbox, correct?
Absolutely right.
All right, cool.
Also on Mac and Linux as well, just to be
absolutely and Mac and
sure.
Linux. Yeah. Great. Well, Kevin, tell me just a little bit about you. You've been with Team 17 for a while. You are the creative director of this company that's been around for quite a while. Tell me a little bit of what your day-to-day is like. What do you find yourself doing?
Well, I suppose my day-to-day role, I've been in game design for... I mean, the vast majority of my career, almost all of it at Team 17. Joined Team 17, I mean, you say quite a while. It's more like a staggeringly long time is probably a more apt way of putting it. I joined Team 17 in 1998. I joined as a playtester. 2 years later, I was lucky enough to get a break with an internal vacancy in the design department. My first role as a designer was on Worms World Party. And yeah, it's been all about game design in general at Team 17 since then, really. My day-to-day task is overseeing the design department, what we're working on internally, also casting an eye and helping out some of our indie partners who are on our games label, sometimes looking at a little bit of new concepts as well, but generally all game design related aspects of Team 17 kind of broadly come under my remit.
So how did you find yourself getting into the video game industry in the beginning?
Getting into the video game industry was simply a case of being lucky enough to live close to Team 17. Growing up as a fan of games, I was always a huge fan of Team 17's output. My history of game development, I suppose, starts with home computers. My uncle was actually a games programmer. When I was a kid... games were always like incredibly sort of like, you know, enticing, and I guess to me had like a magical quality about them. My uncle advised my parents not to get me a games console, but to get me a home computer instead. A decision which I hated him for at the time, because my best friend's game console was a Master System when I was about, I don't know, 7 years old, something like that, and it was the games console to have. You know, it had stereo sound, full color graphics. Games came on cartridges, so they, you know, there were no loading times. Everything happened in a snap. Games broadly looked like they did in the arcades. And my first machine was a Spectrum, which was a British-made machine. It was a home computer. Games came on audio cassettes. They generally took about 5 minutes to load, if they loaded at all. You were lucky if games weren't entirely monochrome. And my first impressions of it were that it was just awful. And it was nothing like my friend's Master System. But right. It was great, actually, you know, because it came with a keyboard and it came with a built-in version of BASIC. So you didn't just play games on the thing, you could actually make games on the thing as well. And making games was almost as much fun as playing games. And that kind of, like, as I grew up, that migrated to the Amiga. The Amiga, another home computer. The Amiga was really the platform that Team 17 cut its teeth on, got its break on. Worms was developed on the Amiga in a package called Blitz Basic, and those were kind of generally the things that I did. You know, I would spend my time tinkering around with a little bit of basic programming, a little bit of graphic design. I never really made anything particularly special. You know, it was always just noodling around with things. But yeah, I guess that sort of set the foundation to give me some very fledgling skills to be able to get into the games industry. And then I was absolutely lucky enough to be able to start a career at Team 17 as a playtester off the back of that, I suppose, or off the back of some of that anyway.
Sure. It's a great story hearing about how, you know, your gaming background just inspired you to get into this. Kind of been a part of your life for most of your life, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think it's true now of kids going to school these days, because there seems to be so many, you know, the games industry is a tough industry to get into. But there are so many more options. You know, universities offer actual educational career paths into the industry. And, you know, when I was a kid at school, when the careers advisor came around, you know, your options were being a scientist or being a mathematician or being a fireman or being a policeman. You know, they were actual proper vocations. And games was something that kids did to waste time. You know, it wasn't seen as a big industry like it is now, like music or film. It absolutely wasn't seen as a full-time job whatsoever. So when I was a kid at school, you know, those kinds of conversations didn't really take place. And if you'd have asked me when I was a kid at school whether or not I'd be working in the games industry when I was older, it just didn't seem like an option. You know, it wasn't even something that you considered or something that you thought of for even a second.
So you slowly figure out this is what you want to do. You kind of hop into Team 17. Is your family pretty supportive of this? Are the people around you pretty supportive of you jumping into this industry, especially back in the 90s?
Well, it, funnily enough, it was actually my dad who found the vacancy for me. I think it was like in the local newspaper. I guess he's mainly responsible, I suppose, for putting me on this path, directly responsible anyway. But I can remember a few years later, after joining Team 17, and having the conversation with my old man about, he was kind of asking me, you know, what I was going to do when the fad of games was over. You know, what are you going to do when games rise up and people don't play games anymore? Because it's not going to last forever, is it? And 18 years later, I'm still here and still managing to make a career of it. Yeah, very lucky as well in that regard.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, tell me a little bit about some of your prior projects. So you've been with Team 17 for a while. Obviously, Team 17 has been producing Worms for, you know, a long time. What are some of your favorite projects that you've worked on in the past, and why? Just give me a little insight.
So one of my absolute favorite projects to work on was Lemmings. We did a version of Lemmings for the Sony PSP. It was one of the early games. And the reason why that was one of my favorites, because I suppose Lemmings, funnily enough, alongside Worms, you know, was absolutely like one of the defining games of my childhood, or, you know, one of the games that I played on the Amiga. When I first played Lemmings, I'd never seen anything like that before. You know, the games that you typically played would fall into really well-defined genres like, you know, shoot 'em ups or platformers. Played an awful lot of platformers in the 80s on the Spectrum. But Lemmings was like the first game that I'd ever played with a mouse before. It kind of showed you how broad game design could be, and you know, all the opportunities and all the different things that you could do with game design. And you know, a bit later on from Lemmings, again, it was a similar thing with Worms. You know, the two games, I suppose, kind of share some similar characteristics in that they both have destructible landscapes and they're both about small, squeaky, maybe somehow unhinged characters. But yeah, so to be able to actually work on that in a professional capacity, to be able to work on a Lemmings game was an absolute dream come true. But it's absolutely the same story with Worms, I suppose, as well. In the, you know, before I joined Team 17, I wasn't only a huge fan of the Amiga, I was a huge fan of Team 17's output as well. And the star of Team 17's output at the time was Worms. So again, to be able to make a career out of that was absolutely incredible.
Team 17 has obviously lived through the transition into the indie scene as we know it now, the modern, you know, indie video game genre, or whatever you want to call it. What are your personal thoughts on indie games, how things have changed with the internet and digital revolution of making indie games available to people? And I don't know, tell me a little bit on where you think indie games are going.
Well, I think indie games in general, it's been a wonderful thing for the games industry. You know, it's almost hard to imagine a time when there wasn't indie games now. But, you know, for a long part, for like from the early 2000s, you know, even almost up to sort of like 2010, the kind of games that are successful now and the breadth of the kinds of games that you see on digital stores, I mean, it's so much broader and it's so much more exciting, I think, because of indie games. And I think a big reason for that was with the rise of consoles, publishers, games became so expensive to make and they became so difficult to make that there was a really high barrier to entry for creative people with really great ideas getting their games to market. And I think with indie games, with digital distribution platforms, with the tools being a lot more accessible now, it means that so many more games developers can bring their games to market, have a chance of success. And what the differentiating factor for me, it's no longer necessarily about being AAA or having a huge marketing budget. It means that unique ideas, you know, and just great game ideas can actually win out. And, you know, what's not to like about that? Everybody wins in that front, because more games developers have more of a chance now, and people who like games, fans of games, more people have their taste catered for, because there is, I think, so much more variety in general in games design now and the kind of games that you will be able to buy on the stores.
So obviously in that same vein, Team 17 as a company acts as both a developer of their own projects and also a publisher of other indie projects. And especially it seems in the past few years, you've been really pushing your ability to publish more games from other indie developers. What has that been like for you guys the past few years as that's kind of grown and developed?
It's been incredibly interesting and it's been incredibly exciting as well at the same time. Team 17 has always had a little bit of a history of helping bring other developers' games to market. We've been doing that since the 90s. I guess we just haven't been doing it as much as we have been doing it in the last couple of years. So I think it was in late 2013, at a senior management level, really driven by our managing director, Debbie Bestwick, kind of wanted to get back into games publishing in more of a hands-on way. And I think kind of what we've got at Team 17, I think, is very unique in that we've got an awful lot of experience of being a developer. For a long time, we've been an indie developer ourselves. We've brought so many different games to market, so many different genres to market. And I think that really puts us in a unique position to understand the market as good as anybody out there, as good as any other publisher out there. And that I really think that allied with our development team, with all the knowledge that we can leverage there, really puts us in a unique position to have a unique take on things as a publisher with our games label.
Sure. And I imagine, it, based on what you were saying about, you know, the digital storefronts and the you know, lessening of the barrier of entry for developers and for publishers, that in the past few years, as you've been publishing more, it's become easier for you guys to do more and more projects like that?
I don't know if it's necessarily become easier. There's an awful lot. I mean, obviously, there's an awful lot that goes into developing a game. There's equally as much goes into launching a game successfully. There's an awful lot of expertise that we can bring in terms of PR, marketing, community management, all the things that go into not only making sure that a game has a successful launch, but also trying to sort of like keep a game charting, keep a game relevant by engaging with the community and listening to the community. So I don't know if it's necessarily gotten any easier. It definitely means that there are more people out there doing it now. So maybe there's a little bit more competition now, because there seem to be, to me, there seems to be more people making games. So there's definitely a lot more product to look at. But yeah, I don't really necessarily know if it's gotten any easier to differentiate yourself in the marketplace, because there is a lot more competition in the marketplace nowadays.
Sure. That's a great way to put it. So let's talk a little bit about Worms, because obviously that is the flagship product for Team 17's development arm. Worms WMD is out now. You just mentioned a little bit about keeping games relevant, and obviously you were talking about it from a publishing side. But how do you keep Worms relevant over such a long period of time?
Well, it's a good question. It's not easy. I think it helps that the fundamentals of the game, to me anyway, seems to be incredibly solid. So the core mechanics of the game, you know, even if you play Worms 1 now, or Worms Armageddon, Worms World Party, the old Worms games, a lot of those old games, they still have quite a strong community following. They still have quite a strong fan following. People still play those games earnestly nowadays. And that's because the core fundamentals of the game, it's just a great game, right? It's just fun. Everything about it is solid. It's got winning ingredients into which have clearly made it a hit that's endured over the years. But then on top of that, I suppose the challenge is, you know, what do you do with it that differentiates itself from the last product? You know, do you change the graphics? Do you bring new gameplay mechanics to it? Do you include some kind of metagame? And, you know, we've tried all sorts of different things over the years, and some things we've found to work really well. Some things have worked maybe not so well. You know, there are some things that have maybe made the game a little bit over complex or unnecessarily complex, where Worms is often thought of as being a little bit of a pick-up-and-play party game. It's strategically, it's got an awful lot of depth to it, right? But on the surface, it kind of like looks like this anarchic game about these little pink creatures blowing each other up and exploding banana bombs and exploding sheep and, you know, all the kind of like crazy anarchic stuff that's come to define Worms over the years. But with each release, I suppose, we've experimented a little bit and we've added things to that formula. So the core fundamentals have kind of remained the same, because there's a really strong platform to build on there. But in Worms WMD, for example, we've added vehicles for the first time, and by adding new features like that, I suppose we're not really trying to change the core game too much, because we think if we did, then it might alienate a lot of our core fan base. It might lose something that makes Worms recognisably what it is. But I guess we're kind of treating the game there as like a little bit of a playpen for the user. You know, it's a session-based game. Users play a game of Worms, and features like the vehicles are a really great fit for the game, because they don't compromise in the core fundamentals in any way, but at the same time, they add an extra layer of depth to the game strategy and give you a little something extra to do.
Tell me just a little bit about the All-Star Pack that you guys are releasing as well. That seems to be a nice bringing together of both the development side of Team 17 and the publishing side.
Yeah, sure. So that was an amazingly cool thing to be able to do. You know, a lot of the games in the All-Star Pack are games that we as developers, you know, absolutely love. Some really great indie games in there. You know, games like Rocket League, Goat Simulator, Broforce. That is just really nice to have a little bit of those games that you know, as a gamer, not necessarily as a developer, but as a gamer, you're a fan of yourself. And to be able to include a little bit of that in Worms was just, you know, a dream come true. So, for example, as I was just talking about there with the vehicles, vehicles are a really cool new addition in Worms. In Worms WMD, the base game has a tank, a helicopter, and a mech in it. But with the partnership that we had with Psyonix, we were able to introduce a Rocket League car. So the Rocket League car is one of the vehicles in the game. The worm can drive the car around. It acts a little bit like the Rocket League car. It's very fast. It's very agile. It can reach places the other vehicles can't. It will flip the worms should you make contact with them. So all sorts of different licenses, I suppose, coming together and adding up to make what was a really cool pre-order bonus for people who pre-ordered WMD.
For sure. So how does something like that work? You guys are fans of Rocket League in the office. You send Psyonix an email and you say, hey, we love your game. Can we blow up some of your cars with our little pink worms?
Yeah, something like that.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess broadly that is a little bit how it works. Yeah, so a lot of the games, I think Debbie reached out to a couple of people and said, you know, this is a really cool thing that we could do. This is a good opportunity for both of us. Can we make it happen? And then various people would just take it from there. So yeah, it would be an email chain, and we'd describe how the feature would work, send screenshots across, give them the concept art, make sure that they're happy with how we're using their brands and their licenses in our game, and just take it from there, I suppose, really.
Very cool. Worms WMD, the newest iteration, I've heard you in a couple of different interviews say that this is kind of a return to the roots of Worms. Have you found so far that that's been a good thing? Do you feel pretty good about this entry?
Oh, yeah. I'm over the moon with this entry, and I think that is generally the feeling at Team 17. It's been received incredibly well. Now, there's always like a little bit more to do, right? So as I've alluded to, we do have a hardcore fan base of Worms players. They do hold us to account that everything is present and correct, and everything is as it should be. So it's some Worms games, I suppose, we've built different engines in the past, so you can kind of like categorize, you know, Worms, for example, Worms 2, Worms Armageddon, Worms World Party, all the same engine, generally considered to be the absolute fan favorite in the series. In fact, if you were to pick one game in the series, almost to a T, I think every hardcore fan of the game will probably pick Worms Armageddon. So for Worms WMD, Worms Armageddon was absolutely the jumping off point for how we wanted the game to feel. And it is very much about the feel as well. It's kind of a hard thing to get across if you haven't played a Worms game before, but Worms Armageddon just feels right, you know, in the hands when you play it. It's something about the way that the worm moves around the landscape. It's the way the grenade rolls around the landscape. It's about how worms react to explosions. It's about how the ninja rope feels. And it's kind of like a combination of all these things that is very hard to get across if you don't play the game. It's hard to describe in a screenshot or a video, but if you're a fan of Worms, you will know that it feels right. And the general consensus so far from the community is that this is the true successor to Worms Armageddon. That's always been the game that we set out to make in the first place. And a mission statement for us was always that we weren't just making another Worms game. You know, we were absolutely making the best Worms game that we've ever made. And if you look across the user reviews, if you generally look at how people are reacting on the forums, what people are saying in reviews, I think it's pretty much mission accomplished. We've got a bit of work ahead of us in that, you know, the story for WMD, I suppose, isn't over yet. We absolutely want to support the game in the future. We want to make it better. And that's, you know, you asked what we were doing today. You know, part of that is looking at what we do in the future with WMD, how we continue to support the game. And a big part of that as well is listening to the community and taking on community feedback. The community might not know it so much, but we absolutely are listening. And it very is much part of the plan that, you know, WMD is the true successor to Worms Armageddon. I genuinely believe that it is the best Worms game that we've ever made, and we want to make sure that it maintains that position and that it lives up to that original mission statement.
Cool. So that's something that interests me, and I think is something that some newer indie developers might struggle with. How do you sort through the audience feedback and through those community responses? How do you take the constructive feedback and really apply it? How do you guys approach that?
I would say on the whole, we try and take a partly scientific approach. We've got really good people working with the community. The devs also take on a lot of the feedback. You know, we're generally pretty well engaged with the community, I would say. If people are requesting a feature enough, then we'll try and prioritize it. But there are all sorts of decisions that go on into, you know, deciding what we actually do. Some of it might just be gut feeling, what we think is right for the game. It might be a mixture of what the community is saying. I guess also a little bit, it kind of like depends on what our resources are as a developer at the time. But yeah, we can't do everything. If we did everything, then I think, you know, we would spread ourselves very thin indeed. It's yeah. not necessarily about doing everything. It's about doing the right things and doing them to the best of our abilities.
That is a great quote that I'll probably steal at some point, just so you know. So.
Go ahead.
Sure. So you've mentioned a couple times that there is kind of this hardcore, dedicated fan base for the Worms series. How do you go about pleasing those core fans while also trying to bring in, you know, new players approaching that new player acquisition?
Yeah, it's a bit of a balance, right? Because we absolutely want to appease the community. We want to bring as many people from the old games into the new games as possible. But at the same time, we want to attract a new audience as well. So that, I think, usually appeasing the hardcore fans and the community is probably more about making sure that it feels like an authentic Worm experience. So it was all the stuff that I was talking about, the physics and how the Worms react in the world and how some of the core weapon set works, making sure that feels authentic and that it feels right. All of that is very, very important. And if you can broadly do a good job on that, then generally the community will get behind what you're doing and support you. All of the other stuff is about, you know, what are the eye-catching new features, what are the contemporary new features, what will make people who maybe used to play Worms and then, you know, didn't really get into the last few games, what will make them pay attention, what will make game reviewers pay attention, what's going to look cool in screenshots, what's going to look cool in videos. And the solution to that was all of the things that we put in Worms WMD. So as we said, vehicles are a brand new thing for the first time, and you know, very, 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 very obvious as to what the function of a helicopter is going to be or what a tank's going to be. You know, if you see a screenshot of a Worms game for the first time and you see a tank, hopefully your response is, oh, cool, new toys to play with, new ways of blowing things up. And then on top of that, buildings, which is a 2D subsection of the landscape. It means you can go inside buildings for the first time. You get a cross-section of the building when you go in there. Adds a new layer of strategy because you can be a bit sneakier than you could in previous Worms games, hide your Worms out, protect them from attacks. We have mounted guns on the landscape. This game has crafting in it for the first time, which I suppose is a bit of an example of how we've reacted to feedback over the years. So, you know, generally when you talk to people, if they're not hardcore fans, maybe one of the things that they can't quite get on board with Worms is its turn-based nature, or, you know, maybe it's watching three other players take their turn and then waiting for you to be able to have your turn. We've tried various solutions to that in the past. We were never really satisfied with what we came up with, but we are absolutely satisfied with crafting. So crafting, again, I suppose you could say it's a very contemporary feature, features in a lot of games these days, mm-hmm. but it's also surprisingly a great fit for Worms, because what you can do in between turns now isn't just wait for your opponent to take their turn. You can actually open the weapons panel. You can break weapons down into the constituent parts. You can build them into new weapons. It gives you a lot more say in kind of like the long-term planning of the game, and it gives you something to do when it's not your turn.
Yeah. It's kind of cool to hear how you guys are focusing on, you know, kind of keeping a finger on the pulse of, you know, current trends, you know, how crafting is popular right now, what people are looking for, that audience feedback. It's just nice to hear that a developer who is also self-publishing is kind of aware of those things, especially with a series that has, you know, been around for so long.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we were very fortunate with WMD in that we had a pretty lengthy pre-production period. And, you know, that's not always a luxury you get in game development, because, you know, there are all sorts of pressures on release dates and things like that. And with WMD, we were really fortunate in that we got a good amount of time to sit down and plan what we wanted to do. And so for every feature that you see in WMD, those designs started out on paper. They just started out as ideas and concepts, but for literally every single new feature that we brought to the table, we were able to write a small prototype first. So before we even had the first line of code written in WMD in a separate project, we had the worms driving tanks, flying around in helicopters. We had an example so we could communicate to the rest of the dev team how we thought buildings should work. We didn't write all of the crafting system, but we prototyped the user interface for it. It did change an awful lot during development, as it happens, because it just turned out the prototype wasn't quite coming up to scratch. But that was a really cool thing to do, you know. So the design process for each new Worms game, we do take it incredibly seriously, and we do think long and hard about what we can add to the game without necessarily overburdening it or making it unduly complex, or, you know, even just losing kind of like the essential essence of what a Worms game is.
So you've kind of told me a bit about, you know, the release of the game, and obviously as you're going through the development process, it's all kind of pushing towards release, right? But now the game is out. So you talked a little bit about how you're looking at continuing to support the game. What does that look like for you guys?
Honestly, we don't have an absolute definite roadmap right now. We've got some ideas. I think we've got some really exciting stuff in the pipeline. But we don't have any absolute solid plans. You know, we'll be meeting literally next week to sit down and talk about what options are available to us. We've got some really cool stuff. We've got some cool stuff to add to the game. It will be a mixture of a couple of new features mixed in with a little bit of supporting the game in terms of balancing it. We've already got a PC patch out there on Steam, which is hopefully trying to show the community that we are listening. We are very much about turning patches around as quickly as we possibly can. But I guess generally for the future, if I was to sum it up, I would say it will be a little mix of some new stuff, and it'll be a mix of addressing issues that the community are having.
Seems like the right way to go, especially based on, you know, what you've told me.
Yeah.
So congratulations on Worms WMD.
Thank you very much.
What does WMD mean?
initials stand for?
Well, I've heard a lot of different, you know, responses out there.
I honestly, you know, that is probably the worst question that you could ask me. You put me right on the spot with that one, because honestly, I'm going to say that nobody at Team 17 really knows, and that's part of the appeal of the name for us, that it's something a little bit silly. It's something that we've played with a bit. If you play WMD, you'll see that during the game, as you play, there are several cartoons in between the single player missions, and each cartoon kind of describes or advertises a little bit about Worms WMD, talks about a little bit of a new feature, and every single cartoon kind of ends with a different strapline, and every time the strapline ends, WMD always means something completely different. Mm-hmm. So there isn't really one true explanation as to why WMD. We just thought it was kind of cool, kind of funny, something that we play with, and we made up all sorts of ridiculous things that WMD could actually mean. But yeah, there isn't one real true meaning for it.
Cool. I think that's the best answer, so you're all right. So let's talk just a little bit about the publishing side of Team 17
now.
Yeah,
sure, cool.
So we touched on the history of it just a little bit, kind of how you guys have ramped up the production side, or the publishing side rather, in the past few years. But as you mentioned, there are more and more people making games now, especially because it's become so much more accessible. Where does Team 17 see themselves in the industry? What is their place in the industry?
I
know, it's a big question.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just one thing. You know, we are equally developer and games label at the same time. And I don't really know if I could say if it was more weighted in one direction or the other. I think they are both equally really cool things that we do and really exciting things that we do. And, you know, if we weren't doing the games label, then we probably wouldn't be looking at amazing games like Ukulele, amazing games like The Escapists, and all the other games on our games label. And as I said, I think the fact that we are also developers, as well as being about helping bring other people's games to market, just puts us in such a unique and such a strong position to not only look at a lot of extra content and see a lot of extra games and be part of that development scene, but, you know, also sometimes contribute to those games, help those games and help leverage all the experience that we've got from years and years of being a games developer into helping get those guys ready for launch and contributing as much as we can, because we're interested in bringing great games to market, and we're interested in bringing great games to market both as a developer and as a games label.
Yeah, great. So in that same vein, how do you go about finding these projects to support and publish? Do they come to you? Do you go seeking them out? How has that worked in the past?
It's a little bit of a mix of both, really. So I suppose, there's not necessarily one place that the games come from. They come from all sorts of different places. One of the ways that indie developers can get in touch with us, we have an email address that people can mail to, which is gameslabel@team17.com. Some of the games are developers reaching out to us through the email address. Some of them are people reaching out in person to people they might know at Team 17. Sometimes we've found the projects through attending game shows, looking on forums and things like that. And then I suppose as we've had a little bit more success at doing that, and we've proved that we can do it, and you know that we are a really good sort of like working partner as a games label, I guess that's meant that people have maybe come to us a little bit more, and people are seeing what we can offer them as a development partner. So there's not one place that the games come from. They come from a whole variety of different places.
Yeah. And so so you find a project and you decide you're going to take them on, you're going to help them, and you're going to publish them. How heavy of a hand does Team 17 have in the process? And tell me a little bit about what it is like in that building up towards release.
Again, this is one of the things that I think puts us in a really unique position. So there isn't sort of like just one package for games developers. It entirely depends on what our partner would need from us. So again, we've kind of like gone the whole spectrum. We've published games where, you know, we haven't really had an awful lot to do with the development of it. And that's because that's the way our indie partners wanted it. You know, that they had a development team, they had a great idea, and they were able to do pretty much everything that was required to get the game done. But maybe being games developers, they don't necessarily know about all the other side of it. You know, the marketing side of it, PR, lifecycle management, all of the other things that are so important to a successful release. And then there's been developers where, you know, sometimes we've been able to leverage our skills as games developers and help them a little bit. You know, maybe some of our staff have worked with them a little bit. Sometimes we've helped bring games not only to market, but we've actually helped make them a success by bringing them to other games platforms as well. You know, so helping out maybe sometimes with porting games or bringing games across from PC to console. So, yeah, I mean, a real sort of like wide range of things that we can do as a games label. And again, it's not necessarily just one thing. It's not necessarily one thing that we do as a games label. The fact that we're also a developer puts us in a really strong position to help out with a whole variety of development duties as well.
Right, that's interesting. So you publish a game, you put it out for release, marketing has gone well, you're feeling good about the game, and then the feedback starts coming. How do you work with the developer on continuing updates on the game, on, you know, helping them, talking with them about their next project? Do you guys continue on from there? I guess, how does that relationship kind of flow once you get to release?
Well, I think the most important thing to say is that, you know, it's all absolutely down to the developer. The kind of publisher that we want to be, the kind of label that we want to be, isn't a label that takes over people's IP or has the final say or puts our foot down and dictates what you can and can't do. That's all very much down to the developer. Now, we would always, of course, offer an opinion because we've got a stake in those games, right? We want those games to be as successful as the game developer wants the games to be. I guess that's worked out on a per project basis with the developer. Again, it comes down to what resources are available. It comes down to what the developer wants to do. We're usually all over the community. We're very diligent at reading reviews, reading forum posts, and kind of spending a good bit of time kind of getting a good lay of the land and deciding where resources are best allocated to make the best updates that we possibly can for the game. It's not a really it's not really a one-size-fits-all solution. It's absolutely tailored to the individual needs of the developer and what's right for the game.
It seems like across the board, Team 17, both in development and in publishing, has this sense of flexibility and moldability around each individual project, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I keep saying it, but and I'm really not trying to come across too much as banging the drum for Team 17. I mean, I do think we do a great job. I know I would say that anyway. But yeah, it is these mix of things that I think really puts us in a strong position.
Cool. So you've had a number of games come out this year already. You know, obviously, I never really stopped playing The Escapists. Great game.
Good man.
Sheltered came out earlier this year. I played a lot of that. Overcooked. Are you an Overcooked master?
Oh, I wouldn't say I'm a master. I absolutely love Overcooked. But if I was being brutally honest, I would say that I kind of suck at Overcooked. I think if we're playing a multiplayer game of Overcooked, it's probably fair to say that you don't want me on your team. I'll do the best job that I can for you, but as much as I love Overcooked, I'm not the best Overcooked player.
Sure. All right. Fair enough.
Just laying my cards on the table there, you know, just in case we happen to bump into each other and there's maybe a little bit of an Overcooked session on the cards, you know, just so you know for future reference.
All right. I'll keep that in mind. Put that in the back. Are you a Worms master?
Ooh. Do you know what? I would have, probably about a year ago, I would have said absolutely, and I would have walked around Team 17 with a really cocky and arrogant air about me. but recently, some of the younger guys that are coming through, some of the younger developers, have kind of like been kicking my ass a little bit, and I've got a bit of a grudge match going on right now, and I kind of don't want to tell you what the final standing score is, but it absolutely isn't favourable to me. Maybe in the past, but I think I need to get back on it. I seem to have lost my touch in recent weeks.
Sure. All right. You've been busy. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good excuse, right?
Sure.
I'll use that.
That's what we'll say. Ukulele, obviously, people are buzzing about that project. Kind of a spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie a bit.
Right.
What else is coming up? Are there any other projects that you guys have announced that we haven't talked about?
So we have a couple of games which are signed to our label. They are, I think they're both announced. One of the games is called Deadwood, which is a very kind of like interesting, I'm going to say that it's maybe got a little bit of Don't Starve in it. It's maybe got a little bit of the traditional Zelda games in it. As a game design concept, it's really, really interesting. Primarily, it is an RPG. It has twin stick shooter elements to it. But it also has a lot of crafting in it. It has this really cool kind of like day-night cycle whereby the sun goes down and the dead wood come to life, which is what the game gets its name for. And then the gameplay dynamic shifts a bit. It's less about performing RPG-like quests and is more about using your environment to hold off the hordes of the undead. We signed a fantastic game earlier in the year called Way to the Woods, which is a very artistic experience. If you check it out, Google it, look at screenshots, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about because the game looks absolutely beautiful. That's being developed by a guy in Australia who is literally fresh out of school, incredibly young dev, but a really smart guy as well, a great guy to work with at the same time. And that's looking really promising. I'm not only a fan of the game, I'm really excited about seeing what form it takes as it comes together during development. We have a game coming out. I don't know if we've got a final date for it. I think it might be released later this year called Strength of the Sword Ultimate, which is a brilliant third-person hack-and-slash game. And we're doing a box edition, seeing as you mentioned Overcooked, we're doing a box edition of Overcooked called the Gourmet Edition, which will have a bit of extra content as well in there. So, yeah, if you're a fan of Overcooked, look out for that one.
Very cool. Okay, so at the end of every Indie Insider episode, I ask the professional that I'm talking to gather up all of their experience and gather up all the stories and pull out some advice for the indie developers out there who are just looking for something inspiring from people who have been there. Tell me a little bit about... Give me a little bit of advice that you would share with the indie devs out there.
I think that there is, it doesn't sound particularly romantic or exciting, but I genuinely think if you want to be pragmatic about it, there's really no substitute for doing your research. Look at the platform that you're aiming at, look at the market that you're going into. I would say keep a close eye on the top selling games, have a look across them, see what people are saying on the forums, and generally try and get a sense of a feel for what works best on that platform, what people are interested in. Now, there's no substitute for that little spark of inspiration, right? And there is no perfect blueprint for creating a successful game. And as we see week in, week out, new games come on the market, which nobody could have ever predicted. So there's no substitute for like a really cool core game design. But at the same time, I really don't think it hurts. If anything, it only strengthens your position knowing what works on that platform. So I'm a firm believer in that. I'm a firm believer on keeping an eye on what people are saying, keeping an eye on what seems to be cool and relevant at the time. And if it seems appropriate, but only if it seems appropriate, try and work a little bit of that into your game design and work a bit of that into your dev plans.
Sound advice. I like it. Kevin Carthew, Creative Director at Team 17. Thank you so much for talking to me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been fun.
Cool. Yeah, I've enjoyed it. No, we will. We'll have Overcooked sometime. We'll battle. It'll be all right.
Awesome. Let's make it happen. Awesome. I'll practice.
All right. I will too. And of course, you, listener, have been listening to the Indie Insider podcast presented by Black Shell Media. If you want to reach out to the podcast and give us some suggestions on who to talk to, if you have questions for people, if you have questions about indie development, if you just want to chat, shoot me an email, logan@blackshellmedia.com, or find me on Twitter @LoganASchultz. Kevin, if people want to follow you or if people want to follow Team 17, how do they get a hold of you?
I would not recommend that people follow me on Twitter because I am just dreadful with social media. If you check me out on Twitter, you'll probably see about 3 posts that I made a year ago. So if anybody does check me out on there, I apologize in advance. So I am at Team Chesh, but I think mostly the more important stuff and all the cool stuff is at Team 17 Limited. That's where you'll find all of Team 17's upcoming news, news about recent releases, generally what's going on about Team 17, and I would heavily advise that you check it out.
And if you are developing a game and you want to run it by the team at Team 17, you mentioned it before, what was that email address?
The email address is gameslabel@team17.com, and it's, even if you're not confident, feel free to drop us a line, because we're always interested in seeing new concepts, and we're always just generally interested in what's going on in the indie gaming scene, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
They seem like nice guys.
We're good people.
And of course, if you want to check out their new game Worms WMD, it is on Steam, Mac, Linux, it is on the PlayStation, it is on Xbox One, $29.99 right now. Kevin, thank you again for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been fun.